Macmillan Audio presents First to the Front, The Untold Story of Dickie Chappelle by Larissa Reinhardt. Read for you by Kate Hanford. For my mother. Introduction. She didn't have much time. They would be leaving soon. In the next room over, she heard the names of familiar drop zones as the commanders debated where they should jump after the sun went down. Their tone anticipated enemy resistance. The chop of an incoming helicopter thundered outside as she lit another cigarette at her typewriter. She had to get the story out. Dear Hobe, she wrote her editor. This letter is a try at reporting to you what I've been doing and thinking. Mostly for my sake, I'll try to put down in words a point of view from which I'll be drafting copy later this week. The subject matter of the copy will be some 5,000 people on our side, the Vietnamese Airborne Brigade. I can't imagine that most Americans know they exist. No reporter, man or woman, Viet or U.S., was ever permitted to go out on their operations before. Yet the 5 weeks, no, it's six now, that I've spent with them have been as unforgettable an adventure as I've ever had in my life. In the autumn of 1961, Georgette Dickie Meyer Chappelle made 7 jumps with the Vietnamese Airborne Brigade, slept 17 nights in the field, came under fire 7 times, and marched over 200 miles through head-high jungles and knee-deep streams. She patrolled the Ho Chi Minh Trail along the Cambodian border with them, photographed them fighting with bravery and valor, watched them die in agony, and got up the next day with the survivors to begin their battle again. Blonde, petite, and hailing from a sleepy suburb outside Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Dickie might have seemed an unlikely figure to be making camp with South Vietnam's finest, let alone to be the first reporter of any gender to have the honor of being credentialed with the airborne. But fighting men had welcomed her since World War II, when, with equal parts grit and compassion, she covered America's armed servicemen giving their last full measure of devotion on Iwo Jima and Okinawa. With her hard-won reputation for being as tough as a Marine with a soft spot for freedom fighters, the airborne seamlessly integrated Dickie into their ranks. They even designed a special parachute for her with extra pockets to hold her film. But since first touching down in enemy territory, she saw with perfect clarity what few Americans were willing to admit for years to come. There was a full-blown war raging in Vietnam, and one that America, along with its South Vietnamese allies, was losing. Hampered by conventional tactics and a lack of meaningful support from their American allies, the Vietnamese forces were no match for the Viet Cong guerrillas, who gained ground every night. Even in these early days, Dickie understood Vietnam as a pivotal battleground in the Cold War. But more importantly, she saw it was a moment of monumental consequence for the men and women of Southeast Asia fighting for their independence. More than most, Dickie knew the consequences of defeat at the hands of a brutal communist regime. During the late 1940s, she witnessed the inception of the Cold War in the rubble pits of post-war Europe. Along with her then husband, Anthony Tony Chappelle, she worked as a documentarian for numerous international aid organizations while living out of the back of a retrofitted baby food delivery truck for months at a time. In war-ravaged capitals, she interviewed families who...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?